Our Father in heaven, we rejoice that we can be gathered in your very presence as your children. We know you are the great Almighty God. We thank you that frail creatures like us can come to know you and even have a relationship with you and actually have a part in the unfolding of your wonderful purposes. We thank you for your kind intentions toward us in the Lord Jesus Christ, even before the foundation of the world. We pray that you will be pleased to continue to grant us insight into what you have revealed in the Scriptures, especially the central message that you want to communicate to us, so that we may know how to live our lives just as the Apostle Paul did, that all that we do, what we are preoccupied with, what we concentrate upon, may flow forth from what is truly important in your heart. Your intentions for your people on earth and also through eternity. We commit this time into your hands and pray that you be pleased to bless us with your presence, and that the Spirit of God may have the freedom to speak to us and to renew our minds. For we ask and pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. We have been considering the mystery, the church, and the fulfillment of God's purposes. We are looking at the big picture, the seventh message. The subtopic for today is Paul, a trustworthy steward of the mystery, the second message. In the last message, we looked at the life and ministry of the Apostle Paul as a good example for us, that he was faithful in fulfilling what the Lord entrusted to him, and he devoted his life to accomplish this goal. And we see various expressions of what is from the depths of his heart keeps flowing forth in his epistles. He expresses it in different ways. But if we see the text in its context and the whole flow in the epistles, and especially as more and more we identify what is in the heart of Paul, then we can see that basically many of the things that he wrote, they cover the same area of truth, the various expressions that he uses, and at the heart of it is being a faithful stewardship of the mystery. That is what he was preoccupied with. What has been in the heart of God in relation to the fulfillment of his purposes and how God desires to accomplish it. And this is the central message of the Scriptures. Paul tells us this has been God's intentions for us in Christ, and also how God's intentions for us in the Lord can be attained. So we are now grouping together the different expressions and ways the Apostle Paul expresses this core area of truth. They can be found in his all his epistles, and as I mentioned, they just keep flowing forth from his heart. And they help us to gain insight into the life and ministry of the Apostle Paul, what motivates him, how he seeks to fulfill what the Lord entrusted to him, what is the core center of his life from which flow forth his ministry, how he conducts himself, what are his values, his perspective, his priorities, and also how he makes decisions and the underlying theme of his epistles. And we know that all this has been recorded in the Scriptures for our learning. It's important for us to learn what we can from the life and ministry of Paul, and also to look to the Lord for spiritual insight into what Paul wants to transmit through the epistles on this core area of truth. so that we can learn to identify with the heart of Paul and also learn to serve God the way he did. Of course, Paul has a specific role in the body of Christ, in the universal church. Each one of us have different roles, but there are various core areas that are similar that God intends for all his children. So in the last message, we covered 12 points, 11 of which came from Ephesians, and today we want to continue to look at how this core area of truth in the heart of Paul is reflected in the book of Colossians. We can say this core area of truth permeates both of these epistles. Actually, it is reflected in all these epistles, but in particular, it stands out in these two epistles, Ephesians and Colossians. You can also say that what Paul talks about in Colossians complements what he says in Ephesians. As I go through the points, also helpful to take note that the wording of the various points that are listed are basically drawn from Paul's own words. Basically. So we'll now go on to the 13th point. The 13th point, Paul made a minister to proclaim the hope of the gospel. Paul made a minister to proclaim the hope of the gospel. Let us turn to Colossians chapter 1. Verse 23, it's good to look at the text, and I'll be going through and you'll see that point after point, it just flows forth from the epistle. Actually, I did think whether I want to start with chapter 1 and go through it in the way that I went through with you for Ephesians, but I think that will take too long. So now I just want to carry on with the point form of how these various points in different ways, they are actually expressing the core issue of what has been the heart of God and in relation to God's revelation of the mystery, what was entrusted to the Apostle Paul and what the Apostle Paul devoted his life to. So if you look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 23, I will not read every word. Or maybe verse 23, Paul says, if indeed you continue in the faith, firmly established and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Preceding verses, Paul had been talking about the role of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here he talks about the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven, of which I, Paul, was made a minister. So Paul tells us, in relation to his calling, has to do with the hope of the gospel of which he was made a minister. So Paul was made a minister to proclaim the hope of the gospel. We can say this is one way of summarizing the life of the Apostle Paul and what was entrusted to him. So this is another way we have looked at it. We have looked at several other ways in the earlier message. It's another way Paul describes his ministry and what God has entrusted to him. The hope of the gospel of which Paul was made a minister would of course include the good news of God's salvation plan for us in and through Christ. All that God intends for us in Christ in the accomplishment of God's purpose. We go on to the next point, and you see that it flows down from what he has written in Colossians. The next point, point 14. Paul made a minister of the church according to the stewardship from God, that he might fully carry out the word of God, the mystery. If you look carefully at point number 14, you'll find that actually it's quite comprehensive. Paul made a minister of the church according to the stewardship from God, that he might fully carry out the word of God, the mystery. You can see Paul's consciousness that throughout his life, basically, God had called him to be a minister of the church, to serve the church, for the benefit of the church. But not only that, it's according to the stewardship from God. Not his own idea, but to fulfill what God had placed in his heart. And to be a good steward of what? The mystery. That he might fully carry out the word of God, the mystery. We can say this point 14 is a meaningful way to describe Paul's ministry and what the Lord had entrusted to him. And basically you'll find that these are in Paul's own words in the next three verses. Starting from verse 24, he says, "Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and my flesh I do my share on behalf of his body." Even while he's suffering, he rejoices, not because he's suffering, but he says, suffering for your sake. "I do my share on behalf of his body, which is the church." So he is fulfilling his part for the benefit of the church. Verse 25, "Of this church I was made a minister." So Paul's primary calling is to be a minister of the church. But he didn't stop there. He says, "According to the stewardship from God, bestowed on me for your benefit." God called Paul, and Paul was to serve him, serve the Lord, but it's for the benefit of the church. "So that I might fully carry out the preaching of the word of God." I've mentioned in times past, the preaching of is in italics. Preaching is a very major part of it, but we can see that Paul was talking about fully carrying out the word of God. The message of God. What God wants to communicate. You can say this is also the central message of the scriptures, and that is the mystery hidden from ages past, but has now been manifested to his saints. The mystery has already been revealed, and we see from the scriptures revealed primarily through the Apostle Paul, but I did mention beginning with the Lord Jesus, but in the epistles and through the apostles, primarily through the Apostle Paul. So this is another way to describe Paul's calling and ministry. To fully carry out the word of God, the mystery, and not just that, it says for the benefit of the brethren. What was in the heart of God, the mystery, is primarily meant for the benefit of believers, for the brethren, but not just isolated believers. It's the church, the body of Christ. And this is something so important and meaningful to Paul that he could actually rejoice in his sufferings in the course of accomplishing what was entrusted to him. To him it is all right to suffer. Not just suffer, but suffer for the sake of the believers, for the church. If in order to benefit the church he had to suffer, not only was it all right with him, he could rejoice. This, if we reflect on it, can help us understand what was in his heart, what was most important to the Apostle Paul. We have seen in earlier message, to finish the course entrusted to him, he was prepared also to lay down his life, whatever he had to go through. Another way of describing Paul's ministry, you'll find, is in the next verse. So point number 15, make known the glory of the riches of this mystery. We can say basically Paul devoted his life to make known the mystery. But in Colossians 1 verse 27, he not only talks about making known the mystery, he says make known the glory of the riches of this mystery. So in different expressions, at times you can see he looks at different angles, but at times he brings forth, he elaborates a little here and there, but they communicate a lot actually. That this, not only the riches of the mystery, but he says the glory of the riches of this mystery. He's telling us what has been the heart of God now being made known is so wonderful. And there's a lot of spiritual riches in it. And it also is associated with the spiritual reality of glory. I'll comment a little on it in the next point. But now let us first look at point number 15, which is in Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. As I mentioned, we see it is a continuing flow. He puts it in different ways, but all the time he's writing from flowing the truths that flow forth from his heart. It just keep flowing forth, and it's all actually not only the same core area, but there are different aspects, and each one of them you can lift it up, and it can become a point by itself. You can say, you can describe Paul's ministry and what was entrusted to him to make known the glory of the riches of the mystery. His whole life, you can say, has to do with making known the glory of the riches of this mystery. You notice Colossians chapter 1, verse 27 ends with, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. But I didn't include this in point 15 because this is very helpful to highlight it as a separate point, point number 16. We can see at the very heart of the riches of the glory of this mystery is point number 16. Christ in you, the hope of glory. If we can appreciate the meaning of Christ in you, the hope of glory, we can understand what has been entrusted to the Apostle Paul, what grips him, and what he devoted his life to. Christ in you, the hope of glory, is another way to describe the core center of the mystery. You can say Christ in you is the way that God's glory can be manifested in and through the believers. Each one, and also together in expression of church life. And we know that Christians generally recognize the manifestation of God's glory is the primary thing that we should be concerned about, and also for believers to devote their lives to the glory of God. But Paul here says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. We can appreciate it from the angle of the individual. Each one of us can manifest the glory of God. But how does it come about? It's through the reality of Christ in you. When we become God's children, God brings it about, this reality of Christ in each one of his children. And this has been the heart of God before the foundation of the world, how God is going to bring about the accomplishment of his purposes. But not only that, Christ in you, the hope of glory, is meant also to communicate to us the manifestation of God's glory through the church. So this one angle, manifestation of God's glory, but the other, we can also look at it from the angle of the believer as well as the church. The church more and more growing in the direction whereby you can see the church manifesting glory. We've seen earlier, Ephesians chapter 5 verse 27, the goal of the church. Christ redeemed believers, his intentions for the church, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory. So this is a church in all her glory. How can this come about? It is through Christ working in the church. And when believers know how to submit themselves to Christ as well as live by the power of the risen Christ. Submitted to Christ, living according to the power of the risen Christ, and then Christ more and more being formed in the hearts of the believers, being transformed according to the image of God's begotten Son, only begotten Son. That is the way the church not only manifests God's glory, but also attain to the goal of the church in all her glory. So Christ in you, the hope of glory, is a very rich expression, very rich in meaning. But it's related to all the points that I'm mentioning. I already mentioned the last message and including today's message. And today I will not be able to complete all the points. It's very interesting. And all these that I'm covering are from the epistles of Paul. They flow forth from his heart. And we can see, appreciate more and more, why do these things keep coming out from the heart of Paul? Then it can help us to appreciate more deeply the meaning of the mystery, and also on our part, how we ought to live our lives. So you can see Paul devoted his life to make known the glory of the riches of the mystery, that God's purposes and his intentions for the church can be accomplished. As believers appreciate and experience in increasing measure the spiritual riches and glory that God intends through the provision of Christ in you. The Christ in you, there's a goal, there's a direction, there's a purpose in it. So that God's glory can be manifested, and also believers, we can be transformed from glory to glory as more and more we are conformed to the image of Christ. I cannot take too long to elaborate. There are many different ways we can appreciate the deep meaning of this expression. And so with various other of their expressions in the different points I'm listing out. In fact, you can easily preach a series of messages on all these different expressions because they are interconnected with all the major themes in the scriptures. Another way that Paul tells us how he sought to fulfill what God entrusted to him and the goal of his ministry. Verse 17. Or rather, point 17. Is to present every man complete or mature in Christ. You can see this has been in the heart of Paul. You can see this also summarizes his ministry and what he concentrates upon. He wants to present every man complete or mature in Christ. And you can see, interestingly, this flows from the last verse that we looked at. The last verse we looked at was verse 27. And actually, in Paul's writing, there's a flow in it. These are not isolated points. It bears a relationship with one another. So after verse 27 is verse 28. So after mentioning about how God has appointed him as a minister, the stewardship entrusted to him that he might fully carry out the word of God, the mystery, and how God wants to make known the riches, the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Paul says, we proclaim him. So it flows. Because of all that he has said in the preceding verses, Paul tells us how he goes about his life. We proclaim him, that is Christ, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom so that we may present every man complete in Christ. This is a process by which God's intentions for us in Christ will be fulfilled. This is how Paul aligned his heart with God's revelation of the mystery. You can say presenting every man complete or mature in Christ. One way of looking at it is that this is the goal. That in the fulfillment of God's purposes, it's God's intention, each one, every member of the body of Christ, every one of his children grow unto maturity in Christ. We saw also this, how Paul expresses this in Ephesians chapter 4. In the outworking of church life, the goal is for every believer to grow unto maturity in Christ. But we can also say that every man growing unto maturity in Christ is also a means to an end. It's part of the process of the fulfillment of God's purposes. Why? Because as each one grows in the direction of maturity, more and more he will be able to serve God effectively, participate in God's purposes, contribute to the lives of others, including helping non-believers to turn to the Lord, and also continuing from there how to help and encourage one another in the direction of God's call. And we know, even reaching out to non-believers, the impact on their lives, how much we have grown in the Lord, will make a difference. How we can be effective witnesses for the Lord. And likewise, in the outworking of church life, body life, how much we've grown in the Lord will help us to fulfill our part well and the positive impact on the lives of others. And all moving in the direction of being conformed to the image of Christ. I make brief comments only, but I said if you ponder over it, you'll find that there's a lot more meaning that can come forth from what Paul is saying. All these expressions that flow forth from his heart, they are very rich in meaning. But it's good to see the relationship, the connectedness, and all flowing forth from the mystery that God has revealed. In times past, hidden, but with the coming of the Messiah, the new covenant, this is what God has now revealed, with start beginning with the Lord Jesus, preaching the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but continuing with the Apostle Paul, the revelation continued. So presenting every man complete or mature in Christ is, you can say, the way that God, Paul sought to accomplish what God had entrusted to him, the stewardship of the mystery, how he sought to fulfill his part in the accomplishment of what is in God's heart, which Paul mentions in the preceding verses we have seen, verses 24 to 27. We can say in many different ways he expresses in different portions of the epistles. I now want to go on to consider with you another way of describing what Paul was committed to and the goal of his ministry. Point number 18. It's a little long, but it's also very rich in meaning and basically the words of the Apostle Paul drawn from the text. Point number 18 is that Paul struggled on behalf of believers that their hearts may be knit together in love and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is, Christ himself. Point number 18. So it was not easy, the ministry of Paul. He struggled. But there's a direction, there's a goal. His struggle was on behalf of believers. There's a direction. Their hearts may be knit together in love. So this is an important goal. If Paul fulfilled his ministry well and believers are responding as they ought, one major characteristic is their love for one another. And love in the scriptures, in this context, and the thrust of really meaningful love is not primarily emotion. It's a heart that's committed to the welfare of the other or the others or the brethren, and love for non-believers, same. You're committed to their welfare, their well-being. You're not easily deterred. And you don't calculate, I do this, I must get something back. If not, I'm not happy. Love is a commitment to the well-being of others, just as God loved us. The Lord Jesus says, you love me, you keep my commandments. You should learn to love as I have loved you. In the same way, the same quality of love, which is commitment to the well-being of others, even when it costs us, and at times it can be painful, it can cost us a lot, but it cannot be compared to what it cost the Lord Jesus in his expression of love toward us to the point of death on the cross. But not just knit together in love, Paul goes, the point which we will see is Paul, what he stated, is also an attaining to all the wealth. See, Paul puts it in different ways. But he said, all the wealth, spiritual wealth, that comes, where does it come from? That comes from the full assurance of understanding. So the understanding is very important. This spiritual understanding, the renewed mind. But it doesn't stop there. It says, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery. The wealth comes about when there is spiritual insight into the mystery. But the understanding that Paul talks about, he says, from the full assurance of understanding, he doesn't stop there, is because he wants to impress upon us, he says, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, Christ himself. So what is he trying to say here? Is that what he wants to communicate, the mystery, what God wants to make known, the mystery, is not just some mental head knowledge. The true mystery, or rather the true knowledge of God's mystery, Christ, is an experiential knowledge of the mystery, is an experiential knowledge of Christ. How deeply we know Christ, and the knowledge of Christ involves a relationship as well as all that we can find in him and all that we can attain to in him. God's intentions for us in him. All the wealth that God intends for us are in the Lord Jesus Christ. So as I said, Paul puts it in different forms, but it's all talking about the same thing. But they help us when he puts it in different ways to help us to see the richness of the meaning in his heart that he wants to communicate. So however he writes, it will keep coming out. These are the deep things in his heart that Paul wants to transmit through the epistles, and it is what God wants to transmit to us. Are we receiving it? And this undergirds Paul's life. It motivates him. It preoccupies him. We look at this in Colossians 2, verses 1 to 3. And notice, this is a continuation. We stopped at verse 29 just now. Paul says in verse 20, we proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete in Christ. But he didn't stop there. Verse 29 says, for this purpose also I labor, striving according to his power which mightily works within me. So in the first chapter, in the last two verses, Paul tells us what he devoted his life for and how he strived, but not according to his own energy, but according to the power of God, to present every man complete in Christ. And then he continues, chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. So it's a continuation. He says, chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. He says, for I want you to know how great a struggle I have on your behalf. The same theme, he's continuing. He strives to present every man complete in Christ. He said, and he wants to make sure they get the point. I want you to know how great a struggle, not an easy task. If you really want to serve God, it will not be easy. So do not be surprised if you are learning from the Lord and you're seeking to be faithful to him. Difficulties of all sorts will come. The Lord Jesus says, deny yourself, take up the cross and follow me. The cross, the principle of the cross. It will be our continuing experience. But it will not be a miserable life. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. He says, I rejoice even in his sufferings. But he's suffering for a purpose. It's not suffering because of our own foolishness. And at the heart of it is because of spiritual opposition, but also because we are living in the context of the fallen world. And the evil one can stir up many things, including people. And at times, some of the most painful things that we go through and we have to endure actually comes from people. And sometimes even from those we love, those who are close to us. And that can be non-Christians. It can also even be Christians. But of course, we need to be careful. Although this is true, do not too quickly think that our suffering is because of faithfulness to God and people this, that, and so on. Sometimes we may have misunderstood people. Sometimes maybe because we do not know how to relate properly with people. But when you are true to the Lord, it doesn't mean your life will be easy. There will be difficulties, and at times intensely difficult. But if we are walking with God properly, then the joy, the meaning, and the blessings of God that come upon us will far outweigh the difficulties and the pain and the suffering. That is why when you read the epistles of Paul, we know that Paul suffered a lot. But what came through in his epistles, the joy, the meaning, the trust, the direction, the purposeful living, no sense of self-pity, miserable, or anything like that comes forth. Here, I'm not just talking about the words, but when you read his epistle, try to identify with the spirit with which he wrote these epistles. Okay, so we carry on. Paul says, I want you to know how great a struggle I have, but it's on your behalf. And also for those who are at Laodicea, and for all those who have not personally seen my face. Basically, he's talking about how great a struggle I have on behalf of believers. That is why I summarize it this way in point 18. Paul struggled on behalf of believers. There's a direction, verse 2. That their hearts may be encouraged. So there is a proper place, a meaningful place, that in our lives we are an encouragement to one another. We should be careful not to go about in such a way that our lives pull down the spirit and the hearts of others. But we should be an encouragement to one another. By encouragement to one another, very clear, Paul devoted his life to build up, be encouragement to others. But it doesn't mean that he will not say anything that will be painful to the ears or the hearts of the hearers. He can also rebuke the Galatians. But it's in order to build them up, not to tear them down. And basically, what I mentioned earlier, love. Point 18, and this is what Paul wrote here, that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love. He's trying to draw out, nurture love amongst the brethren, and of course his own heart, love. He wrote 1 Corinthians 13, the most beautiful chapter on the meaning of love. That their hearts, so this is a direction, their hearts may be encouraged, knit together in love, and attaining to all the wealth, we saw just now, to all the wealth that comes from. Where does it come from? Comes from the full assurance of understanding resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is Christ himself. I didn't mention this part just now. I didn't include it in point 18 because I don't think it's essential. But verse 3 is relevant. It's an elaboration. In whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge? In Christ. In Christ is all it. All the wealth, all the spiritual wealth that God intends for us. And one aspect that Paul highlights here is that in Christ, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. can be found in the Lord Jesus. And in the scriptures, here he's talking about worldly wisdom, not worldly knowledge, spiritual wisdom, spiritual knowledge. These are great treasures in God's kingdom. Yeah. Believers should highly value this. In the scriptures, Paul also prays for believers for wisdom, for spiritual, the eyes of the heart may be enlightened. That is spiritual knowledge. And all these can be found in the Lord Jesus. So if you want to grow well, move in the direction of God's call, then we need to nurture our relationship with Christ. And if you want to seek true wisdom, true knowledge, it has to go together with a deepening knowledge, experience of a relationship with Christ. They go together because all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are in Him. We cannot develop true wisdom and knowledge outside of Christ. They are found in Him. But you may say, oh, if I read the scriptures, if I pay attention to messages that are preached, do they not contribute to spiritual wisdom and knowledge? Yes, they do. But they are not outside of Christ. They go together. God has given us the scriptures. It's from the Lord. And if we are able to benefit from the scriptures properly and grow in spiritual wisdom and knowledge, it goes together with a deepening relationship with Christ and knowledge of Christ. In the last message, I mentioned that Paul, and we noted that Paul concluded Ephesians with a request for prayer on his behalf, that he may faithfully discharge the stewardship of what God had entrusted to him. We saw this in Ephesians chapter 6 near the end of the epistle. To make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. Now let us look at Colossians. Likewise, the Apostle Paul also requested prayer on his behalf in the last chapter of Colossians. And it's very interesting. If you look at the prayer request, the words are different, but the content of the prayer request is actually the same. And what was the request? That he might faithfully fulfill what God had entrusted to him by clearly making known the mystery of Christ. So this is the 19th point. That he might, or that he may clearly speak forth the mystery of Christ. If Paul fulfilled this is it. So he requested prayer in this direction. That is what he has devoted his life to. That is the ministry entrusted to him, that he may clearly speak forth the mystery of Christ. And this we see in the last chapter of Colossians, Colossians chapter 4. Just now we look at Colossians chapter 1 from verse 23 onwards until Colossians chapter 2 verse 3, and subsequent from there, read for yourself. You can see, just like in Ephesians, just as now, I don't think it's a suitable time for me to go into it. The whole book of Colossians is permeated with what we've been talking about in the various points covered in today's message. But now we want to go on to chapter 4, when he came to the end of it, just like in Ephesians. When he came to the end in chapter 4 of Colossians, what does he say? Colossians chapter 4, in particular verses 3 and 4, but perhaps we should begin with verse 2. Chapter 4, verse 2, Paul says, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. So it's encouraging, urging the believers to pray, and not only to pray, devote yourself to prayer. Very, very important. Because what they want to attain to and what they want to accomplish is in the spiritual dimension, and God at work is the key to it. Prayer, very critical. But as we've been studying on Wednesdays, effective prayer, very important. The life of the believer. So devote yourself to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. So prayer is not just, oh, I prayed. But are we exercising ourselves properly? Are we alert? Do we know what we are praying about? Are we praying as we ought to pray? Then Paul says, as he says, devote yourselves to prayer, he says, verse 3, praying at the same time for us. So Paul and his co-workers, for us as well, that God, the direction, pray for what? That God will open up to us a door for the word, opportunities for the communication of God's message, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ. You notice all the we here. So it's not just for himself, also the co-workers, and it's also true for each one of us. But the last part, it can become personal, which is to tell us, that Paul is trying to tell us, this is what he's concerned about. When you pray for me, this is what I'm requesting. For which I've also, opened up to us a door for the word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I've also been imprisoned, so the I comes in, and verse 4, that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. Because this is also true. We should pray for all believers and God's workers in that direction. But here, at a personal level, Paul is requesting prayer that he may make it clear the transmission of the truth. And he says, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ. I mentioned just now, point number 19, that he may clearly speak forth the mystery of Christ. And if we reflect upon it, what we've been considering in these messages, on the big picture as well as preceding messages, we know the mystery of Christ covers the whole thing. From what has been the heart of God before the foundation of the world in relation to his plans, his purposes, and how they are to be accomplished. As I mentioned, I've actually preached several messages at the beginning of the current series of messages on the fulfillment of God's purposes, and how in the epistles of Paul, when you group the various verses together, it forms a beautiful picture of the meaning of the mystery. They are now in edited text message. You can read it if you wish to on the website. So Paul says here, basically, the request of prayer that he may clearly speak for the mystery of Christ. We can say this another way to summarize Paul's ministry and also the burden of his heart and his understanding of how to fulfill what God had entrusted to him. If he can accomplish this, he has accomplished his life purpose. So, a brief remark. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19, Paul uses the expression, the mystery of the gospel. There he was also requesting prayer. But in Colossians chapter 4, verse 3, here, he uses the expression, the mystery of Christ. In an earlier message, I did mention, and it's helpful to take note. The mystery of Christ, the mystery of the gospel. You can see the mystery of the gospel is at the heart of the mystery, is the gospel, the good news. The mystery of Christ at the very heart of the mystery is Christ. The mystery concerning Christ. The mystery concerning the gospel. So both expressions refer to the same core area of truth. It has to do with the good news. The gospel is the good news of God's intentions for us in Christ. It's interesting for us now to compare how Paul requested prayer in the last chapter of 2 Thessalonians. I'll be referring to other epistles of Paul, and you will find the same theme keeps coming up, although he may use different expressions. As I did mention in an earlier message, when we can see these things more clearly, it will help us when we read these words. The whole wealth of meaning comes forth when we understand what actually was in the heart of Paul when he wrote these things. But if we just read without a full appreciation, then we just say, oh, mystery of Christ, and we stop that, we carry on reading. It may not mean very much to us. Similarly, we look at 2 Thessalonians. The last chapter of 2 Thessalonians. Let's look at 2 Thessalonians, chapter 3, verse 1. 2 Thessalonians, chapter 3, verse 1. Paul says, finally. So he's coming to the end of his epistles. He says, finally, brethren, pray for us. So it's similar. So Paul often requested prayer, not only during at the end of his epistles, but often at the end of his epistles. We look at three examples already. So this is Thessalonians. He says the same thing. Finally, brethren, pray for us. What? That the word of the Lord will spread rapidly and be glorified, just as it did also with you. But you need to link the two. Pray for us, and then that the word of the Lord will spread rapidly. In one sense, Paul's heart, his desire, is that the word of the Lord spread rapidly, whether it be through him or through anyone else. But specifically, he's requiring prayer for himself and his co-workers, that the word of the Lord will spread rapidly and be glorified. That is, through his ministry. Pray for us that the word of the Lord will spread rapidly and be glorified. So Paul is not talking about some superficial thing in the spreading of the word. He's talking about something very wonderful, very rich in meaning, linked to the term glory. So Paul, to the Thessalonians, so bear in mind this is a different epistle. And as I mentioned, I'll be referring subsequently to various epistles. So to the Thessalonians, Paul uses the expression, the word of the Lord. So the expression covers the same ground as the mystery of the gospel in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 9, the mystery of Christ in Colossians chapter 3, chapter 4, verse 3. Because the word of the Lord, and we've seen this in earlier messages, the word of the Lord is God's message for mankind. And what is that? It is the good news of God's intentions for us in Christ. The mystery. And if you look at the context of 2 Thessalonians, see, before he wrote 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1, if you look at the context, it's interesting. I have no time to go into, there are various other verses we can refer to in 2 Thessalonians, but I think just referring to two verses may be sufficient. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verses 13 and 14 brings out the meaning. And it's same as what he writes in the other epistles. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verses 13 and 14. Paul wrote, but we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation. God has chosen you from the beginning. This reminds us of Ephesians, from the very beginning. Already it was in God's heart, the way of salvation, through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. Here, Paul emphasizes the role of the Spirit, the process of sanctification, not just conversion, and faith in the truth. This is another way of expressing faith in the word. Faith in the truth. Here he's not just talking about worldly truth. He's talking about spiritual truth. It's the word of God. The truth that God has revealed. But verse 14 links us to what we've been talking about. They are all closely related. So verse 14 he says, it was for this he called you. Why did God call us? It's for this. It was for this he called you through our gospel, that you may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So this has been the heart of God before the foundation of the world. The gospel, salvation, through faith in the truth. And the truth revealed has to do with God sending his only begotten Son to this world to die for us. And not only the death, but the resurrection of Christ, the ascension of Christ, followed by the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the birth of the church, and how God wants to fulfill his purposes through the church. And Paul says that you may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory, and enter into the glorious experiences that God wants us to attain to in the spiritual realm through God's provision of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when Paul talks about, finally, brethren, chapter 3, verse 1, pray for us that the word of the Lord will spread rapidly. What is he talking about? He's talking about this. And if you go through Thessalonians, you can fill up more. But it's basically, it flows forth from the same core area of truth. But although I say the same core area of truth, bear in mind what I mentioned earlier, that this is a central message of the scriptures, and from it flow forth all the rest of the revelation in the scriptures. It bears a relationship to this core area of truth, the mystery. So all that is in Paul's epistles, all the spiritual principles in the epistles, and not only of Paul, but the other apostles, in the teachings of the Lord Jesus, and for that matter, even the Old Testament. But we need to understand how to appreciate the Old Testament and how they help us in fulfilling God's purposes. They all bear relationship with this core center. So the context helps us see what Paul meant by the expression, the word of the Lord, and also Paul's ministry. So this leads me to the 20th point. I don't know whether you notice I haven't mentioned the point. The point here now is point number 20. Spreading the word of the Lord. Spreading the word of the Lord. So Paul says, pray for us that the word of the Lord will spread rapidly. So this is what Paul was devoted to. He requested prayer. So you can see this is what another way to summarize Paul's life. He devoted his life to the spreading of the word of the Lord. But although we can phrase it this way, and it's correct to say this is what Paul devoted his life to, this sums up his ministry. But very helpful, important, when we want to say that, then we need to understand the meaning of the spreading of the word of the Lord. It's a very narrow sense, then it will not be an accurate understanding of what Paul devoted his life to, or even what was Paul requesting prayer. And this includes the spreading of the word to non-believers as well as Paul's ministry also to believers. Paul devoted a lot of his time to the building of believers. Christ in you, the hope of glory, the unfathomable riches in Christ. All that God intends for us in Christ. Paul says, I desire to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. His ministry. There's a lot of riches in the ministry of Paul intended for the building up of believers. So, as time is passing by quickly, I think I cannot go further, but just complete this part. So the point number 20 is spreading the word of the Lord. Paul, in this context, was requesting prayer for the Thessalonians. that he might effectively fulfill the ministry entrusted to him. And he expressed it in this way. We can say this similar in meaning to point 40, which I covered with you. And that is, that he might fully carry out the word of God, the mystery, in Colossians chapter 1, verses 24 to 25. And point 14 is what we covered today. We covered point 14. Same. That he might fully carry out the word of God, the mystery, spreading the word of the Lord. Spreading the word of the Lord. The Lord willing, subsequently, we'll look at how Paul communicates various important truths in his other epistles, and you can say they also can be used to summarize his ministry. Right? You'll see it's very interesting. Paul uses different expressions, but they all come down to the same core area. But the core area and what is in Paul's heart is not a narrow thing. It's very deep and rich. The scope in depth and width is as deep and as wide as what God wants to communicate to us through the scriptures. It's the word that God wants disseminated. The central message of the scriptures, which is what all of us, all his children, need to pay attention, that this is central in the heart of God and what we should also be devoting our lives to. But how to go about it? We look at the example of the Apostle Paul. We can learn much from it. But yes, we need to bear in mind, God gives us different roles in the body. Paul is an apostle, preacher, teacher, and he's a special ministry entrusted to him by the Lord. That's not true for all of us. But various of these things we are talking about, at the heart of it, is entrusted to all his children. The ministry of the word in different forms. All of us involved in the ministry doesn't mean that all of us are called to preach. We have to be witnesses to the truth of the word of the Lord. But we need to understand what is it that God wants transmitted, and to what degree they can become real in our own lives. At the heart of it, there are many implications, including our appreciation of the Lord Jesus, the death, resurrection of Christ, and all the implications that flow forth from there. The role of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The role of the church. What is the destiny of the church? And how church life ought to function. So various of these things, subsequently, we'll go into it further. Although over the years, in different ways, I've actually covered many of these points. But now we are putting it all together and also looking to the Lord for further revelation, understanding, insight into the role of the church in the fulfillment of God's purposes. So I've mentioned just now to you, one way to appreciate Paul's ministry is that he devoted his life for the welfare of believers, or I can say for the church. He was appointed to be a minister of the church. For what purpose? That the church and all believers may come to appreciate more deeply all the wealth that there is in the mystery revealed by God, and that is Christ at the core center. All that God intends for us in him. But beyond that is how all these things can be attained. So it's good to see the big picture and how all these various things come together, and to know what we are devoting our lives to. What are we preoccupied with? So whether it be in your career, whether it be relationship with people, whether it be family relationships, friends, whatever we may be doing, how we channel our time and energy and so on. Are we properly gripped by the core message that God wants to communicate? And then from there, to seek to understand how to live out our lives in the various areas consistent with God's call for us and His intentions for us in Christ and the expression of working in church life. It would be good if more and more we can have spiritual insight into how God wants us to respond to His calling. We'll stop here. We'll stop here for today and spend some time to reflect over the life and ministry of the Apostle Paul and the different ways he expresses it in the scriptures of his calling, what he devoted his life to, and what is the core center of God's message, and what are the implications for our lives, and how we can identify with the burdens in Paul's heart, which also ought to be the burdens in our heart, that indeed the word of the Lord may spread powerfully, and God's intentions and the outworking of His purposes fulfilled, and we have a meaningful part in it at a personal level and together in church life. So let's now spend some time reflecting over these things and asking the Lord to help us to gain a deeper insight into what Paul is trying to transmit to us through his epistles and what we can learn from the Apostle Paul as our good example. Father in heaven, we thank you for what has been revealed in the scriptures. We thank you for the life and ministry of the Apostle Paul and also the epistles that he has written. We know that what has been written by him flows forth from the depths of his heart, and also the important truths that he desires to transmit to your children through the epistles. And we know that Paul has devoted his life to fulfill the ministry entrusted to him, what he describes as the stewardship from God. He knew that you had made him a minister of the church according to the stewardship, that he might fully carry out the word of God, the mystery, to make known the glory of the riches of this mystery, Christ in you, the hope of glory. We thank you. We are thankful that Paul was a trustworthy steward of the mystery, and his life is a good example for us. We pray that you will help us to appreciate what was in his heart, from which flow forth his words, his life, his ministry. We pray that like him, we too may understand your calling for each one of us and together as your people. That in our personal lives, we will not live our life and approach life in which so many different areas of our lives are compartmentalized, but that we may appreciate how we can live our lives as an integrated whole, flowing forth from the core center linked to your calling for us, and how to view the various issues of life the way you view them, the way you want us to view them, and how to channel our time, our energy, our resources in the way that you desire of us. We pray that the Spirit of God will have the freedom to speak to us in a way that we can understand. We know that to appreciate these truths deeply in a personal way that will make a difference in our lives the way you desire of us is not easy. And the outworking of what we have come to understand is also difficult because we are living in the fallen world. There's the weakness of the flesh and the evil one actively at work to take advantage, to make use of the things in the world and to exploit the weakness of the flesh and also to confuse us, to cause us to go astray, to deceive us in many different ways, to deter us, to distract us. But we thank you that you have not only made adequate provisions for us, but you assured us, even through the Apostle Paul, that you always lead us in triumph in Christ, that in him we can truly overcome. Even as Christ overcame the world, we too can overcome in him. We pray that you will continue to guide us, speak to us, and lead us in the path of victory so that we can fulfill the part you desire of us in the accomplishment of your purposes. We thank you now for the Lord's Supper we can partake together. We ask for your blessings on the bread and wine. We pray you will continue to prepare our hearts so that we will not partake Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. That you will help us to draw near to you, to exercise true faith in you, grounded in the truth revealed in the Scriptures. All this we ask and pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.